Pour something flammable into your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. My name, whatever. It's Lang.
Yeah, I was going to say.
With me, as always, is Nathan, the Lizard Queen.
Oh, I am the Lizard Queen. I was going to say, it's episode 82. If they don't know who we are yet.
Oh, I was just going,
I don't know.
I was just going with the general theme of this episode. Take these, and then take these. Oh, thank you, doctor. Oh, I'm not a doctor.
So, good old Simpsons.
I am smoking and drinking and trying not to move my arms as much as possible because I was spending 5 hours tattooing today.
Oh, well, yeah, what'd you get?
I got a Canadian flag on my right bicep and I got an Arizona flag on my left bicep.
Interesting.
In color.
And hey, no, that's totally fine. I was just going to say, I'm glad you went, you followed my advice and took it, you know, got a tattoo of a Canadian flag in America somewhere you could see to make sure it wasn't just going to be dicks.
Well, I made them do the Arizona flag first because then they can't kind of be like, it's just that fucking Canadian guy. Nope. Arizona's my other home. Fuck you all. That's exactly it. But I am smoking and I am drinking rum and coke because I drank through my scotch this week.
Mm-hmm. But they don't have liquor stores in Arizona?
I'm on vacation and I was in a chair today, so fuck it. All right. What are you drinking, Nathan? Still bacon rainbows?
Oh, bacon rainbows.
Bacon rainbows. Absolutely. You're going to get sick of it eventually.
You know, I'm actually pacing it out. I only drink it now when I podcast, and I drink all my other beer of the month stuff any other time I want beer. So this way, it helps that. And being like a almost liter bottle, you know, when you're just like, man, I could go for like a beer. It's not
a tough sell.
It's a really tough sell to just be like, and by a beer, I mean a liter of beer.
Well, and that's technically a breakfast beer.
It is true. I mean, Americans have donuts for breakfast. It's a donut beer. I should be drinking this to work.
That's the truth right there. All right. So this week in hobby, I didn't do shit. What'd you do?
Painted a couple guys, and I'm playing in a 40K tournament tomorrow. Yeah, of all things.
Yes, sir. Is that the Team OP?
No, the Team OP was last weekend. That is Mr. Kyle's Farewell to 5th Edition tournament.
Farewell to 5th Edition. Are you playing your tournaments?
Absolutely not. I am playing the single worst 40K army I think I have ever built in my life. And I mean ever, even like when I first started and was playing like shitty Dark Elder starter set armies. Because I decided that I was going to take my demons, who are absolutely no good in 40K. I have no anti-tank weapons at all in the list. But I was just like, hey, they're pretty.
You're just going to run square bases like a pro.
Square bases like a pro. Awesome. Basically, I just broke up my two units, and that's 1,500 points. And I was like, wow.
Go down.
Yeah.
Well, so, that ought to be fun.
Yeah, we'll see if I can win a game. I'm not hopeful because I'm like, I've played one game of 40K in the last, like, 15 months, and now I'm playing Demons, an army I've never played before in 40K with no anti-tank weapons in 5th edition. So like I said,
that's
if I win
super fancy.
A game... Yeah, if I win a game, I will be very impressed with myself.
Right on. Well, actually, I didn't say this last week, but right before I left, we had to clear out my basement to actually have it look like a studio and get some drywall down there. So we had to pack everything up out of the basement and put it up in the living room. So that meant that I had to organize and pack every single model that I own, which was a daunting task, to say the least. It took me a good 3-4 hours to get everything in cases, to get everything packed up, and just sit there and go like, why the fuck do I have all of this shit? You know, like I have so much random, like I've got, you know, my epic orc army, and I've got my gothic fleets, and I've got all this extra shit that I was packing up, and it was just, I had this big pile of shit off to the side. I was like, Jesus Christ, I have a lot of models. This is kind of ridiculous. it was just a very fun experience to actually get it all organized. I think the funny thing about it is there's a lot of stuff that I can almost guarantee is never going to come out of the boxes that they are in now. Like, I don't think my orc army is ever going to see the light of day again. I'm probably going to end up, like, giving away my high elves or some shit just because it's like, yeah, that's never going anywhere. Let's just go ahead and write those armies off right now. Mm-hmm. But I was able to get all my guard organized and stuff like that because I think, you know, between my guard and my Necrons, like, those are the two armies I think I'm going to go hard on for 6th edition.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, honestly, for me, being a battered spouse, my 6th edition plan is more Tyranids, but different color scheme. I actually am going to eBay my entire existing range. Like, if there's paint on the model other than primer, I'm just gonna dump it off because, again, it's that painting trap you fall in where it's just like, no, this army looks good enough, and then you paint an army that's like 5 steps better.
Yeah,
and you're just like, oh, they look like shit. I can't use them. So. That's probably what I'm going to do. Maybe if the Chaos Legions book is amazing, I will probably do Emperor's Children, as I have always wanted to do Emperor's Children, but I'm really not a Marine guy, so I'm not holding my breath on that.
Well, that's the truth. Well, that, and, you know, we're supposed to get a Chaos Marine book sometime.
Eventually. Hey, you know what? A lot of people pan the current Chaos Marine book. I don't mind it. I think you can build a lot of fun.
We've talked about it before. It's definitely something you can do.
You can build competitive lists. I think the biggest problem with it right now is the same problem that most old codexes have. It doesn't age that well, and as a result, you simply kind of get pigeonholed into taking two or three units that are fantastic. And ignoring most of the book. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, I would build a current Chaos Space Marine army for Emperor's Children if I could paint Marines. Every time I try, I get, like, 2-3 Marines in, and it just...
Yeah, that's the same thing for me, is every time I start painting my Marines, I'll get, like, a half a squad done and just walk away.
Yeah, like, and then it's, like, 3 years later, you're just like, shit, why did I stop doing this? These guys look amazing. And I'll paint like 3 more. And I'm just like, that's why I stopped. This sucks. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what I do with 6th edition. If you are looking for the over-under, me doing another Tyranid army is 1-to-1 odds. It's not going to pay out big.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. So yeah, I mean, that's definitely where I am with my 40K stuff right now. But let's get into higher learning for this week, which unfortunately is the Sisters of Battle Codex, quote unquote Codex. I guess it's technically a Codex.
You know what's funny is I saw it and I laughed because you know what, panning Robin Crudace's work is, it's the lowest hanging fruit there is.
It's like your pastime. Like if outside of your hobby, your normal hobby and other hobbies, your other hobby is just making fun of and hating. Just hating the shit out of Robin Crudace.
Hey, you're totally right. And he deserves every iota of hate. But no, what I actually thought was funny, and this is where I laughed, because I looked at Sisters of Battle, and I shook my head and I chuckled, and I was like, man, so easy. And I was like, hey, let's get the frickin' rules. Because this is the White Dwarf only piece of shit two-parter that they released, almost a year ago now. Because I know it was after the April release, but before. So, I mean, it was around now, right?
Roughly, yes.
You cannot get it. Games Workshop is just straight up not providing the rules. I mean, maybe it's on their website somewhere. Maybe it's in a freaking White Dwarf tab. But if you are on their page looking at the Sisters of Battle, you can look at all of their models. And you know, I've said it before, I'll say it now. I think that some of the Sisters range, most of it is pretty good looking, and it's stood up to the test of time. I mean, if you like having
3 poses over and over again.
And that is the fucking truth.
If I could build an army of roughly 10 models, I would be exceptionally happy with that army.
Right? Oh, they'd be great in Necromunda.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But no, I mean, like, you know, you can look at all the models, you know, and like I said, they've got some really nice models. They've got a lot of bland, no variety because of the 3 poses, but absolutely nowhere can I find their rules. So, I mean, straight away, you can see that Games Workshop doesn't even give a shit about trying to get new people into this army.
Well, we talked about that when the White Dwarf issues came out, and you know, it was such a huge letdown, and there were so many missed opportunities with it, you know, where they didn't have Adeptus Arbites in there, and they didn't have a lot of other things that could have really made the army a little bit more dynamic in a lot of different ways, and especially allow them to play a couple of different ways, as opposed to just playing it the way that, you know, there's really only one, maybe two ways to play Sisters of Battle all in all, the way that the list is currently laid out, and the special rules kind of pigeonhole you into those two specific play styles. And again, one of them is, you know, heads and tails, the best one that you can play. The other one is kind of like, in most scenarios, you'll do okay.
No, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. They Yeah, the rules are something else. I mean, you know, other than panning it, why don't we actually try to work out what a decent-ish Sisters of Battle army would be? Because honestly, the only thing that I can think of is like a fucking Meltagun spam list. You know, because you've got, what are they, 12 points now? 12-point Sisters, which are 3 cheaper than Marines. Well, actually, 4 cheaper than Marines, 3 cheaper than Space Wolves.
I thought you said we weren't going to dig on them.
Nay, I'm not. Nice. Facts is digging. No, so I mean, it's just like, you know, if you went for your typical shooting, you know, like, look at a competitive Space Wolves army and basically copy it with Sisters, and you're going to shave off a couple hundred points.
Yeah.
And that's really all there is to it. Now, you are in no way as good as the Space Wolves are because they still have the strength, toughness, weapon skill, and initiative of Marines. But if all you're looking for is that sort of shooting punch, you can have the same thing. You can get 2 Meltaguns, you can load up in Rhinos, you can do all those things. Because really, the thing is if you are actually trying to build Sisters of Battle army and you're trying to be competitive, the first thing you need to do, which is a complete departure from the previous rules, is just pretend Faith doesn't exist.
Right.
Okay? Because, I mean, in the previous set of rules, Faith was that mechanic that turned Sisters of Battle from these very mediocre units into these exceptional units. The current Faith mechanic just absolutely does not work. You might get 1, maybe 2 Faith points a game that are relevant to the situation.
Right.
Because it's all so fucking straight-lined, like, this is all you can do. So, like I said, just don't bank on it. Don't build it into your list. Take out all of your Simulacrum Imperialises, all of your banners, because you know what? You're just paying points for something you're most likely not going to use. And go with it from there. Build, you know, you want to build your shooting list. You can take 5-man Retributor squads with the 4 heavy weapons, so that way you can lay down heavy bolters or multi-meltas. You can spam Meltaguns. And that's kind of what you have to do. And I mean, it's unfortunate that they turned this army with, you know, I mean, some people love the fluff, some people hate it. I personally think Faithful Warrior Nuns is hilarious, and I love it. I know you think it's stupid, and that's fine, whatever.
Well, I don't necessarily think it's stupid. Like, I always said my biggest problem with it was the whole idea of faith points. Like, why that army was so much more faithful, quote-unquote, than any other army that was essentially the same thing as they were, right? Like, Space Marines are just monks in armor, and then these are just nuns in armor. So, like, where's the faith mechanic in all these other armies where it's probably going to be just as prominent and just as useful? You know, like, you've got priests in these armies, you've got librarians, you've got all this other kind of stuff that you can use. But it just, like, that was the only thing that ever rubbed me the wrong way with Sisters of Battle, to be perfectly honest. That was really it. Everything else fair with them, enough. Like, I like the models, I like the idea of them, I think they're very cool, I like the idea that they're just kind of the militant arm of the, you know, the Ecclesi, or the Ecclesiarchy,
yeah,
however you want to say
listen.
It.
Listen, the idea of the church having its own private army is just cool. Like, it's just like, I love that aspect to it, because you know what, it has its roots in this, you know, in history. You know, they have this very interesting tie-in. And they have this interesting history, you know, with what is it, Thor? Yeah, or whatever.
Thor?
No, I think it was...
oh, yeah, Sebastian the Sisters Thor, of Battle, right? Were really big into Asgardian lore.
No, but Sebastian Thor was the reason they came into existence, remember? Because he was able to turn militias and do all of this and blah, 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 blah. But listen, it's an interesting background. I personally enjoy it. I think a lot of the models are very nice. Some of them show their, you know, don't really look that great, but those are mostly the heavy weapons troopers. Some of the sort of sergeants and special weapon poses, but they look good. You know, I just can't get over the fact that their rules have kind of really just, if you're trying to build a competitive Witch Hunters list, the first question I have to ask you is why? Because you are going to spend more money building this army than anything else because they're 100% pewter. I mean, to show you the level of faith that GW has in this, you can't get their rules and they won't even turn any of them into fine crap.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
So it's just like, you know.
They'd still charge you more if it was fine crap. Let's not lie. Would. Let's not act like it would suddenly be
listen,
better.
They would no. They would totally charge you more. I get it. But the fact that GW has not touched a single model out of this entire range tells you that they are planning on replacing everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the one thing to keep in mind. But it's just like, I do like the models. I know with their last book, this was always, you know, that sort of dream army. I mean, we talked about it, I think, in our really drunken backup episode from way back when. You know, your dream army, and for me it was Bretonnia. My dream 40K army was always Sisters of Battle.
Right.
You know, and it was always the army that I was never going to do because I knew I would get bored painting 80 models out of three poses. I mean, at least with Marines being plastic, you can have some fun, you can convert them, you can change them around. So it's not all just power armored guys with helmets and bolters.
Yeah.
You know, you could have a little more variation than you could here. But yeah, I mean, these rules, not even panning Robin Credis as hard as I want to. I'm just like, I just find them to be a disappointment. I really feel like the rules were written to be intentionally bad, which is why GW won't give you a copy of them. So go try to track down 2-year-old back issues of White Dwarf if you want to play them. And yeah, I mean, the models aren't in stores. They're not in fine cast. It's just they're in this state of limbo where GW, you know, it's like Dark Eldar before their re-release. Like the last 2 years before then, try to find Dark Eldar models.
Yeah, exactly. So as much as we try, I have to agree with you. Melt to Spam is pretty much the best thing that you're going to get out of that list. And, you know, hope that you get one or two decent faith rolls off that actually do something in a game. But for the most part, I think that that's really as far as you want to go. There's a couple of, you know, interesting unit choices that you can put together. But for the most part, there's really no reason to try to, you know, mix and match a lot of the crap in that list unless you really are playing pure fluff. And at that point, there's no big thing that we can say in terms of building like a real competitive fluff list, because there's just really nothing to do with it. The vehicles are fine, you know, get them into the rhinos and razorbacks. I don't even remember if they have razorbacks or not.
Immolators is the same tank.
Why the fuck not? You know, and then just, you know, run it like you would run, like you say, a Space Wolves army or something of that nature and kind of go from there.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's your best bet. And again, you know, it's not like anyone new is picking this up, so this is just people that already have existing Sisters armies trying to figure out what to do. Like I said, find the most competitive Space Wolf list and copy it, because the most competitive Space Wolf lists are all Grey Hunters and Longfangs anyway, so it's not like they have a special secret weapon you don't have access to.
No, and that's exactly it. All right, so not beating the dead horse any further, so let's just move on to the main topic of today's show. Why we don't care about 40K. which is pretty straightforward. Like you said, we talked for about a half hour trying to come up with like a good 40K topic. You know, we try to mix it up on the show, kind of go back and forth as much as possible, but it just becomes harder and harder and harder to talk about Warhammer 40,000 with 6th edition looming, but so far in the future that any topic that we go into for 40K is just kind of be null and void, you know, soon as things start getting released or getting leaked to the public, to the point where we can actually talk about them. We've talked a little bit about some of the rules that were leaked, that were confirmed, that were kind of interesting things and how they would apply to certain armies. I don't think that there's necessarily anything in these armies that's going to stand out other than maybe kind of the addition of the stand and shoot rule if you are playing the melt to spam list. And that's kind of to go from there. But, you know, like what else is there to say about Warhammer 40,000 right now? It's completely dead. And, you know, playing games, by all means, play games, right? Have fun, go play at tournaments, you know, play the same way you've been playing for the last, you know, 5 years and enjoy yourself. But really, there's not much to talk about. And it's hard for even, you know, the seasoned veteran players to walk into a gaming tournament and look at everything on the tables and go, is this good still? Is it going to be good later? Like, do I care? Is it that great? Like, do I need to start trying to build these lists? Or is this just a time for veteran gamers to just kind of look at their stuff and just play fluffy, fun, goof games, you know? Like, just try to play. Because there's no point in trying to train yourself. There's no point in trying to maximize lists at this. Like, nobody's looking at their stuff going like, all right, how am I going to make this list better? How am I really going to maximize what I have? You know, twisting points around. Because there's no reason to, you know? So it's, yeah, we don't care. They don't care about 40K right now. It's really unfortunate, you know. Not like we've... I know there's a lot of people who would say that we haven't cared about 40K for quite a long time.
You're right. I think there are a lot of people that will. But I think the biggest thing is for the longest time, I would say maybe the last year, we were both in a position where we wanted to love 40K. We wanted to care about it. And so it's just like, you know, when the Necrons came out, I was legitimately excited for that release. I thought... you know, except for retconning all of the fluff, and putting drivers on their vehicles, it's still stupid.
Gas pedals.
Gas pedals. Yeah, they said, we understand AI. We're all a race of AI robots. What do you mean make our vehicles sentient? That's stupid. But no, I mean, you know, I was excited about that release, and it honestly got my 40K juices flowing to the point where I started painting some 40K models again, which something that hadn't happened. So it's just like, I cared, and I wanted to care. And I wanted to get into it. But I mean, at this point, yeah, Lang's absolutely right. We spent a half an hour before we sat down to record trying to think of a topic. And I think the best we came up with is, you know, changing gears and getting ready for an edition change. And then I was just like, but it's boring. You know, it's like, sure, we can fill time with it. Yeah, we can do it and we can tell people and give people all this solid advice. But I mean, it's still a boring topic to just say, okay, and then you want to try every unit, and you want to make sure you read the rule book a lot, and you want to try these rules, and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, it's not interesting. And I mean, at this point in time, I am excited to play this tournament tomorrow because, A, it counts for nothing. B, I'm taking the stupidest list I could possibly take. Literally the stupidest. I'm just like, who cares? Because that's my opinion of 40K right now. I am still excited for 6th edition. I'm hopeful because, as I have told a very skeptical friend of mine, Games Workshop has never fucked up an edition. They've never screwed up core rules before. You know, so it's just like, say what you will about codexes, army balance, all those things, but it's just like, I know that come June 23rd, when I can pre-order my copy of the rules for whenever it comes out in July, I know that I will be excited, and I know I'm not going to be let down. And I know it's going to be a big change, and so that's exciting. But, I mean, right here, right now, I've got nothing. I literally have no excitement to give. Like, it's just like I have a finite amount of fucks to give, and 40K just doesn't have any of that right now. And it's unfortunate because, you know, I'm still reading 40K Black Library. You know, I just finished Only in Death again.
Yeah.
Still good. Still so good.
It's such a money winner.
Oh, and I mean, I still had to, like, fight back the tears at the end. I was just like, good Lord, I know this is coming. I know that, like, this isn't a surprise to me. But I mean, you know, like, that's the thing where it's just like, fuck, I love it. I think it's great. But I just don't care. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, what, I know you're there too. So, I mean, what can we say? What can we do about fucking 40K now?
Well, and I think that that's kind of in the realm of wargaming, in the realm of Warhammer 40,000, there's so many other very interesting things happening around it. And I think that that's kind of what's funny about Warhammer 40,000 is you could really care less about the game. You could really care less about, you know, what Games Workshop is doing with it right now or how long we're going to have to wait. But everything around it, like still like the tournament scene and the books and all of this other stuff is still quite interesting. And it's still going to keep grabbing your attention. And it's not like the fact that we're not getting the edition right away or that, you know, you've lost the urge to really play. There's still a lot of things that are going to grab you and pull you in and keep your attention. Like you said, with the Necron Codex release, it was one of those things that kind of gets you fired up. You go, okay, well, hey, look, we're seeing this stuff. It's coming. But I think the biggest problem with what Games Workshop is currently doing with Warhammer 40,000 is they're dragging their heels. You know, like, it's something that, I mean, we got the leaked rules, what was it, like 9 months ago?
Yes.
And then it took even longer before they were just like, well, it's not really the leaked rules. And then we got another book and we thought, oh, okay, well, this shit's coming right around the corner. And then it was another 6 months and nothing happened. And then more nothing happened. And then even more nothing happened to the point where there was next to nothing even being released. And so when they released some of the flyers, it was like, all right, you know, hey, look, there's something coming. We got stuff. It's on the horizon. And then you look at the release schedule and the fact that, like you said, we're going to be able to pre-order it come
June 23rd, or whatever, ooh, whatever the fuck that video date.
That's
was.
So amazing! You know, I'm so glad that they put that video on the internet. It's so baller. Yeah. Games Workshop. Thanks for giving us the heads up on the fact that we can pre-order shit that we were gonna pre-order anyways. You know, like it's that whole idea is just. It feels to me like they're just dragging their heels, and that's slowly sapping the life out of me when it comes to Warhammer 40,000.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned the flyers, because I actually forgot about them, because you know what, for the flyers, and I'm not gonna talk about them a lot, but it's just like, the models or whatever, we talked about them, but it's just like, the rules came out in a White Dwarf, and I honestly don't give two shits. Like, I haven't even, like, flipped through to read the rules, because I know that in a month and a half or 2 months, the edition is going to change, and the way flyers work is different. Like, I will guarantee that how they have written flyers is just skimmers in that White Dwarf article.
Very much so. Fast skimmers.
And they are... Yeah, and they are going to be very different. They're going to be straight up flyers in 6th edition. So it's just like, that was another thing where I was just like, those models are interesting. I think, well... The Orc Bomber is awesome. The freaking Cylon ships are awesome. And as I have said before, the Storm Talon was Games Workshop's attempt to sell more Storm Ravens, because they're like, how can we make a stupider looking flyer so people will buy the more expensive Storm Raven? I know. But it's just like, I haven't bothered reading the rules because, again, I just don't care. I know that anything that's posted there is not how it's going to work in a month and a half. So why would I bother wasting my time? Why would I read it? Why would I look at it when I'm not going to play with them or against them? And now that I've said this, watch, I play 4 flyers tomorrow in 4 games. I'll play flyers every single game. Not that I can catch them. I have no anti-tank weapons and nothing that isn't infantry.
So that flyer doesn't want to like get hurling caught around the table.
Yeah, my plague bear is fucking
shouting, shouting at the flyers.
It'll be hilarious. Like I said, I do not expect to win a game. It's going to be fantastic. And I think that's one of the only that is the thing where it's just like, I don't care about 40K, but I'm actually really, really excited here because I'm at this point where absolutely nothing in this edition matters. I mean, Nova Open is happening in September, well after 6th edition has dropped, and they've still stuck to their guns and said, we're running a 5th edition tournament. And again, I have to ask the question, does that tournament even matter anymore? You know, by saying we're going to be a holdout, we're going to be the last 5th edition tournament because gamers don't like change and they're not going to want to play 6th edition if it comes out. I mean, I get if the launch day was the Saturday of your event, don't run it. But you're saying that gamers are going to have 2 months to prepare and tweak their lists and do whatever and have fun with this edition. You know, does Nova Open for 40K even matter this year? I mean, like, honestly, if you bought a ticket and you're looking to go, how excited are you to learn the 6th edition rules and then have to forget them all to play this fucking tournament? Well, especially people flying out.
Well, exactly. And I think that's, again, like, that's where it becomes so strange. And that's why I feel like they're dragging their feet, because they're really not aware of these big events. It seems like Games Workshop isn't aware of these big events. They're not aware of the fact that this stuff is being run and that, you know, this is something that is going to promote sales and it's going to get people going and it's going to get people on the bandwagon, and they're just slowly working their way through. But it's a fail on the part of the people who were running the Nova Open as well, because, you know, you got to give gamers a little bit more credit than what you're currently giving them. You know, running it as a 5th edition tournament is basically saying, well, we don't think that, you know, gamers are going to be smart enough to do this, or we don't think that we can put together scenarios in a short enough period of time, or we don't think that, you know, people are going to be that interested in 6th edition, or we're just hedging our bets. But all you're really doing is pushing people off the wrong side of the boat, you know? Like, it's just that you're throwing the life vest on one side of the boat and you're kicking them out the other side, and they're sharks in the water. And I don't know, sharks are space wolves in this analogy, whatever.
You know, I was going to say, how many more things are we going to squeeze into this analogy before it's done?
Listen, I'm not going to lie that it got away from me, but fuck it. You know, I don't care that much. And that's really what it comes down to, you know? So, I mean, it's
I don't even care about my 40K analogies. That's how much I don't care.
See, but that's why, like, if I were going to a tournament like that with any large number, like, large group of people, I would say, like, yeah, just bring 6th edition lists. Like, just really just bring your 6th edition list, play them in 5th, and just, like, talk to the people and say, like, yeah, it was a huge mistake you guys running this in 5th. It was just, it was massively off the wall. Because, like you said, it doesn't matter. You're going to go play it in 5th and it doesn't work out, or you win or you lose and everyone goes, woo, you're the last winner for 5th edition, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's I don't know. It's very strange.
Yeah, you know, because like I said, you know, when you look at the major events, which, you know, in Neighborstan, you know, is basically Adepticon and Nova Open. Those are the two biggest events, and they could arguably be some of the biggest events in the world. You know, when you look at the Adepticon championship table, you know, the championships, when those 16 lists, you know, those 16 armies break, their lists are posted online, and people dissect it. They pore over it because, you know what, people are trying to get better. And seeing what armies were the best in a field of 400 people is awesome. Because like I said, this is the top 1%. So it's just like, you know, when you look at the list and you can look at it and you say, this is how I'm going to improve my game. But by running a 5th edition tournament 2 full months after 6th edition has landed, all you're saying is like you said, I have no faith in my gamers at all. I think that people are stupid. They're not going to be able to change their lists. They're not going to want to change their lists. And I'm so afraid of you know, like, you know, because Fantasy 8th Edition had such a backlash where people are like, fuck it, I'm quitting Warhammer forever. I'm going to go play Privateer Press, to which we say good riddance.
Yeah. Salute!
Yeah, go have fun. You know, so it's just like, I think they're just so terrified of this happening that they're sticking to this antiquated thing where at the end of the day, the guy that wins Nova Open, like it's like the most Pyrrhic victory possible. Sure, you won, but it's meaningless. You know, it's just like, did you really win when you were able to take first overall in a tournament that's running outdated rules?
Right.
You know, so yeah, I mean, again, you know, and it's such a shame because, I mean, I, you know, I like Nova. I want to go to Nova. I went to Adepticon this year. I had a blast. I want to go to Nova. I want to play 40K when I do go. But it's just like there's no fucking way that I would actually be excited to play a tournament running old rules. I mean, that would be like saying, hey, the new Space Marine Codex has been out for 3 months, but you know what? There's so many Space Marine players that we're going to stick to the old Codex because we don't want it. We want to make sure they're going to pay their money. They know their lists. They know their army. And I can't risk losing their money. So
you hear that, Nova Open? You lost a potential ticket from a J-list internet celebrity.
That's right.
That is so fucking right. I mean, you know what? I know it's going to keep you up at night. So that's just your own damn fault. But I mean, yeah.
First,
like you said, one of the things that we were going to talk about is kind of how to gear up for 6th edition. But I think what's strange about an edition change is that there's really no way to gear up for it. And I was reading a couple posts on a couple forums before we started the podcast. I was really kind of looking for how do we expand on this topic a little bit. And a lot of the stuff that people were posting was just like, you know, like count your models and, you know, like try to finish squads. And you should also read your codex, but like don't read it. Like read it, like, but read it, it knowing that it doesn't mean anything. Like those were the types of things that people would post where they were just basically like these completely inane recommendations for people to try to gear up for an edition change where we already know that this edition change is going to be so fucking drastic.
Yeah.
That even after you read the rules, it's going to take you at least, I mean, if you're good, if you're smart, if you're math hammering the shit out of this crap and like you might be able to really, really learn how the addition is going to affect your army after like 5 games, right?
You know, but I don't know. I disagree because even when we look at the shift from 4th ed to 5th ed.
Well, fuck you.
Fuck you too. You know, it was almost 2 years before the current metagame really entrenched itself as, you know, this is the way that 40K is played. Because, I mean, fuck, I would go to tournaments a year and a half later with my 5th ed tournament list, and I'd run into a 4th ed marine list that's running, you know, 1 10-man... tactical squad and 1 5-man scout squad that he would combat squad, so he'd have 3 5-man units as troops. And I'm like, for fuck's sakes, this is 5th edition. And it would just be like, it'd be the easiest win in the world because he, you know, he was still playing a 4th edition kill point denial type of game. Or not kill point, victory point denial.
Yeah, victory point denial.
Type of list. And it was just like, that was a year and a half out. So I mean, sure, you might have, you know, the Tony Kapaches of this world that are gonna, you know, 5 games in be like, yeah, and I've got it. I completely understand what I need to do. But as a whole, you're not going to see that kind of adoption. You're still going to see 5th edition lists being played in 6th edition well into it, because it isn't until Bell of Lost Souls, even though I haven't been there in months, publishes and says, this is the way you win 6th edition, that everyone is going to fucking mass adopt it and go out and buy whatever list it was, because that's what happened. The Leafblower won Ardboys. They talked about how great the Leafblower was and how it's unbeatable because of all the tanks. And then the very next fucking Adepticon, like one-third of the armies there were Leafblowers. And you're just like, good fucking God. So, you know, until that happens, you're really not going to see it. And I don't know, like, it's just, I think you're right. Games Workshop dragging their feet is just stupid, because honestly, who, and I'm curious, you know, post on the Facebook page, who has been buying 40K in the last 3 months, knowing full well that 6th edition is coming out, and knowing that your list is going to, well, I was actually going to phrase the question as who other than John Wong, but I was like, you know what, I'm going to not. But that's because John has an addiction.
Well, by the time that we're all done reading the 6th edition book, he'll have 3 armies painted. So it's totally understandable. I mean, he's on a different plane of existence. He's got bullet time for painting models, is my understanding of it. Is he fixed on bullet time, so while the rest of us are slowly like walking to Games Workshop, he's finished an army.
You know, it's either that or because he's Asian, he has like sweatshop time. Like, you know, it's just like, enter sweatshop mode, go. And it's just like, bam, you know.
Sweatshop bullet time.
That's right. But yeah, so I mean, like, really, realistically, other than John, who has been making major 40K purchases? I'm sure you might have picked up a character here and there, maybe another tank, because you're like, hey, you know what, I need another Rhino. But it's just like, I'm honestly curious, you know, post on in the Facebook group. Have you actually made a big 40K purchase in the last 6 months?
Yeah.
And I don't think many people have. And that's the other thing, where it's just like, this is a company that touts itself as a fucking miniature making company who can't sell miniatures because they're dragging their feet on an edition change. So everyone's afraid to waste money when this shit is expensive.
Well, and I mean, I'm not playing down the need for playtesting. I'm not playing down the need for, you know, marketing and all this other stuff. But again, this is why I keep coming back to the idea that it's strange. Like, this isn't a market that works like video games. It's not a market that works like television, where or movies, for instance, where you can pump stuff up, you know, a year before it comes out and try to get people excited for it and get people going for it. And people are going to spend the money because you're building that excitement. You've got people who are going to buy it and play it anyways, right? I mean, even guys who go and they buy the 6th edition book and they hate it and they say, fuck it, I'm going to go to Privateer Press. I mean, even those people are still buying a book. You know, and they're going to come back around. I mean, even the people who I talked to back when 8th edition came out, who swore up and down that they were fucking done with it, they're all playing it. You know, like, it's part of the game. Like, this is the market that we live in. It's not a market where you're going to lose customers unless it's perfect. And we all know it's not perfect. And we all know it's not going to be perfect. Yeah. I mean, we bitch and complain about all the shit that's not perfect. It's technically our job, kind of.
Well, job in that we don't get paid. Maybe job like hobos have jobs to be crazy.
Yeah, true.
I think that's what we have. No, but I mean, you're absolutely right. Because I mean, I remember when 5th edition came out. And I mean, I was a heavy 4th edition player. I went to shitloads of tournaments in 4th edition. You know, really, really enjoyed everything. I remember the 5th edition rulebook came out. I read it and I swore off 40K. I was like, fuck it, I'll play fantasy. I'm done with 40K. Hilariously. 6 months later, I was doing nothing but playing 40K, where it's just like, no, this edition is brilliant, but it takes playing enough games to figure it out. And you're right, the same thing happened with 8th edition. Everyone read it and they were like, fuck it, I'm done, I'll never play. And then they started playing more and they're just like, you know what, this is pretty fucking good. and I expect 6th edition to be the same. You're right, there are going to be guys that are going to read the rule book. They're going to swear off the game. They're going to go play fucking Wormahordes or Flames of War or whatever tickles their fancy, until they realize that there's only two people to play. They get sick of them because there's only two people and one of them I fucking hate. Then they're going to come back. They're going to play games because at least it's something to do and they already have these models and they're painted and blah, 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 blah. And then they're going to fall in love with the edition because, you know what? I really feel like this edition is going to be a shock. This isn't like the jump from third to fourth where it was like, let's let's clean up the rules, or fourth to fifth, where, again, they just kind of cleaned up the rules. This is going to be a major jump. And I think you're going to have people that swear off the game and are going to be right back.
Well, and it's that same hurdle of that we know that this edition is going to change so drastically, and that means money. You're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay to get your stuff up to date. You're going to have to pay to be competitive the way that you were competitive before. And it's going to be a complete shift in kind of every way that you were thinking about the game, just like it was for 8th edition. Everybody had to essentially rebuild their army list. Now, a lot of times that meant maybe buy a couple boxes, fill out some units, you know, play around a little bit with your organization. But for the most part, you know, it meant money. It meant you had to buy shit and you had to beef it out. You had to make it work. And I think it's going to be fairly clear that this edition is going to be very similar. You know, we're already seeing stuff getting cheaper on a regular basis in the books that are coming out. And more models is the direction that they're going to go in, because bigger is better, and that's what people want to play with. You know, there's a reason why people don't really play 1,000-point games anymore, you know, because that's that's not the environment that we game in right now. You know, the environment that we're gaming in right now are massive battles at the same points costs that we were seeing, mm-hmm. you know, 10 years ago.
No,
where armies are just
right.
a shit ton bigger.
Because I remember when Apocalypse came out, and they're like, oh, minimum 3,000 per side. And I remember going, holy shit, 3,000 points. That's fucking huge. Like, you know, and back in 2006 when 07, I can't remember where it was. It was around there. Fuck it, I've been around a while. When it did come out, 3,000 points was unheard of, because you're right, that was back in the era of 1,000-point games, 1,500-point tournaments. But now, I mean, 2,000-point tournaments is fucking regular. So, I mean, you know, hell, Ardboys was 2,500. So it's just like so many people have those things, and I think you're absolutely right. People do have to rebuild it, because you know what? When 8th edition dropped, I mean, I played some games with what I had for my Wood Elves, and then I looked at it and I said, I can either build a brand new Wood Elf army from scratch, maybe keeping 30, 40 models that I have, or I can start a brand new army altogether. And I started Demons. So, hey, congratulations, Games Workshop. You got $500 out of me for a new army. And the same thing happened with my Tyranids, because the Tyranids got a Codex release relatively early in the 5th edition life cycle. And so it was just like I had to take my quasi 5th edition, which was basically my 4th ed Tyranid list with some minor changes. I think I painted up one unit, and I basically redid the whole army. I think I think to make my 2,000-point tournament army, I was able to keep about 200 points of what I had painted, and I had to buy a brand new 1,800-point army to optimize for 5th edition and the new Codex at the same time. You know, so you're absolutely right. The new edition equals more money. So I think, like, it's just bad business practice to have the worst kept secret, you know, because, I mean, really, people have known this is the summer of 6th edition since last year.
Right.
This time last year, we knew we're 1 year out from a new edition. And sure, when it's a year, people are still making purchases, but you can't honestly tell me that since the new year hit, anyone has dropped significant money other than John Wong onto fucking armies, you know, because people don't want to waste their money. They're going to save it. They're going to do whatever. They'll spend it on tournaments. And that's just the fact. So, I mean, you know what, Games Workshop, I think you've got to understand that the internet actually exists, and it's more than just a place to post really shitty blog posts with even shittier YouTube videos. I mean, when I read their blog, I was just like, man, this is terrible. They really can't get worse than this. And then they tried to get into YouTube, and I was like, holy shit, they got worse than their blog.
Yeah, that, I mean, what they put into that most recent YouTube video could have been like a half a page banner on their homepage. You know what I mean? Like, if you go click on the banner on their homepage, it like leads to the video where they're just like, ha ha ha, everybody, a date, bitch.
Yep.
Like, Why make an 8-second video for something like that? Like, I thought that was absolutely hilarious.
Well,
but speaking,
well, because you know what, I know where you're trying to segue. I just want to get the last word in. I'm just like, but even speaking of that, I think what's ridiculous, because you know what, if Games Workshop pulled a fast one, and June 23rd was the actual fucking launch date of 6th edition, I would actually applaud them. I think it's brilliant. But the biggest problem is they release these fucking teaser videos for the day that I can pre-order something that's out a month later. And you're just like, you know what? Go fuck yourself. You know, because my first thought was like, oh my god, June 23rd for the new edition. I'm like, wait a second, no, this is Games Workshop. On June 23rd, I'll be able to pre-order something that'll come out at the end of July. This is bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
But now you can segue.
All right, well, segue. Speaking of not wanting to spend money, Games Workshop has their new advanced orders for Warhammer, which is hilariously two more orc models that nobody asked for and nobody needed in a billion years. And then a shit ton of fine cast for models that have already been released, which is really funny. The highlight of this, to say the least, is the fact that you can get three chameleon skinks in fine cast for $10 a piece.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Yeah. That's not fair. It's $29.75, so it's not quite $10. It's like $9, and like, yeah.
You're right. How could I ever been so wrong?
No, no, no. But even stupider than this, okay? So I can buy three chameleon skinks for $30, which is absolutely fucking retarded, because you know what I can do otherwise is I can buy a box of plastic skinks, and I can paint them differently, and voila, instant chameleon skinks.
Right, exactly.
You fucking retards. But even funnier is the separate chameleon stalker. So if I wanted a champion in my chameleon skink unit, Paco 1 Finecast for $16, because $10 is too cheap for one model.
Well, you know, the packaging costs money.
You know, that's true. and the worst part is compared to the plastic skink models, chameleon skinks look like fucking ass. Like they are... Ass. They are probably like they are definitely the worst models in the Lizardmen range, hands down. And it's just like, yeah, they're one of the worst fucking models in all of Warhammer. I mean, they're no harpies, which you can also get five for $45. that is what, $9?
That's a savings harpy. Compared to Chameleon Skinks.
Yeah, that is a saving of $1 per model, ladies. You know, so it's just like, good Lord, like, it's just, I know that the fine cast fucking well, like, you know, you'd think it would have run dry by now, but every now and then, like, Games Workshop just outdoes themselves in stupid. Because even if you look at all of the Dark Elf stuff, they're all at that $9 per model price point. I mean, fucking Witch Elves are 10 points, and I have to pay $9 for each of them?
Yeah.
That is almost a dollar point. I mean, granted, Chameleon Skinks are, what, more than a dollar per point? I know the Pterodon Riders at $21 per guy, they are definitely more than they are worth. But it's just like, I don't get it. You know, it's such a blatant cash grab.
It really does make me wonder if there was this directive at Games Workshop in the headquarters where they basically said, like, right, we have to convert anything pewter over to Finecast as quickly as possible.
As long as it's not a sister battle.
And then they just got distracted. And they were just, you know, and if they had done it in one big shot where they had just built it up, got it ready, got it all ready, and was ready to go, instead of kind of piecemealing it out over the span of a year, if not longer, because Finecast has been out for I would say...
It was May last year.
Yeah, okay, so over a year.
More than a year.
So over a year, and you're still slowly releasing these models in Finecast. Like, it's very confusing to me to look at this and say, like, okay, well, at this point, Finecast has been out for a long fucking time. We've had all these models and pewters for a long fucking time. So why the hell are they still trying to tout this as, oh, guys, this great thing? And, you know, like, they're already trying to ice skate uphill trying to convince people and retailers about how awesome Finecast is.
Well, yeah, I mean, we had that stupidity check where they were sending the thing out where it's just like, fuck, we've gotten so many Finecast returns. We need to ask our independent retailers to treat their customers like fucking morons that are not capable of understanding how to use this new awesome product. You know, because that was one of the things where when it first came out, we panned it. It's Jaded Gamercast. Do we like anything? Fantasy, sure.
The two new orc models look fine, but like I said, it's something nobody asked.
No, for sure. But I mean, you know, like I said,
the new orc book came out how fucking long ago?
Yeah, we'll pan it because it's fun to pan it. But you know what? At the same time, we even said, listen, their quality control has gone down fucking hill, and maybe it's because they had to produce so many models in so short a period of time to do that massive relaunch. But Finecast isn't getting better. Finecast is still a piece of shit. You know, like thank God there are companies like Avatars of War and things like that, because when I look at it, I'm thinking about building a new army. I've been painting up some test models. I'm excited. I'm really excited to do them and to work on them. And when I did up a list, I was like, fuck, I've got one fine cast character. That's okay. You know what? Maybe I'll go into like the old Games Workshop stuff and pull one of their pewters, or I'll just go to Avatars of War or one of these other companies and just buy an alternative model, because I, honest to God, do not want to deal with Vinecast. And I think what's actually funny about it is, have you noticed now that they've really stopped releasing new Vinecast products in the clamshells?
Yes, and, I did notice that.
Yeah, you know, it's all being out in those little boxes. And I think the big reason for that is you can't see the quality of model. So, you know, unlike with the clamshells where you can look at all three poses of the chameleon skinks and just be like, well, they're all shit. You know, there's too much flash, they're pockmarked, they're warped, the blowpipes are you know, they look like limp dicks, like, you know, all of this stuff where it's just like, now, no, we're not going to let customers know what they're buying. We're not going to give them any choice in the matter. We're going to fucking seal up a box and we're going to force them to just roll the dice and hope and pray. And that's why for me, I'm just like, fuck it. I'm not going to buy this character in a box where I can't see if it's good. I'm just going to go buy a character from Avatars of War.
Right.
Because fuck you. Like, it's bullshit. So I think it's definitely a failed stupidity check, the whole fine cast issues, but more importantly, the price point. Like, is it no one looking at it and saying $10 for a fucking skink is retarded?
Like, well, I understand that also that they're trying to make a profit. Like, they're trying to fit it into this specific profit margin. But you can't shoehorn your profit margin into something that just makes absolutely no sense. And again, I would challenge anybody to come back and say, oh, yeah, well, I'm planning on picking up a bunch of fine cast chameleon skinks. You know, I've been waiting.
Yeah. No, but I mean, what's even stupider is when you're looking on the page, the chameleon skinks are right beneath the salamander hunting pack.
Right.
And the salamander hunting pack gives me three skinks and a salamander for $35. So what you're telling me is the amount of resin per skink is $10, but the salamander that is literally three times the size is only $5.
With three skinks.
Well, you know, and that's what I'm saying is, like I said, if we assume that the skinks are still $10 each, as established with the chameleon skink box, I'm paying $5 for a salamander or $5 for a razor knot. And that's when, you know, you're just like, is no one looking at this? Is no one realizing how fucking retarded it is? The only thing that I will give them props for is, if I'm not mistaken, the Scar Veteran bat with the battle standard was the LE Army Box battle standard, wasn't he?
I do not believe so.
No, so you could always buy that model?
Yes, there was a battle standard available, and I believe that was it.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, no one does it, because your Slan's always your BSB, but...
Right,
Or your Skink on a Stegodon.
Well, and I mean, if you're going to take a Scar Vet, you're going to take a Combat Scar Vet. Like, you're not going to waste a BSB on them when you have
all these other options. I just didn't know.
Put your BSB on the Skink, on the Stegodon, or put them on your Slan. Like, there's just better choices.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure because I was like, man, that's a nice banner. I've never seen that before. And I think I play Lizardmen. What?
Because nobody buys it.
It's true. I was like, I think I play Lizardmen every single tournament I go to. And I mean, I play you all the time. So it's just like, Lizardmen are common for me. They are a common draw, you know. So, and I've never seen that model. So I just thought it was the BSB LE model. That's why. But no, it's because he sucks. That's cool.
All right.
But yeah,
so,
I mean, fucking,
we're running,
get your head out.
We're running a bit short today, so I just wanted to throw in there before we finish the show off. Somebody did post on the Facebook group there that there was a new Terran Mark II carrier that was released for Firestorm Armada. Looks pretty nice. You know, I like the design focus that they're going with for a lot of the new Mark II ships. I don't think any of the Mark II stuff that they've been doing has come out really bad. And I think that it's a good example of the fact that, you know, people out there with worse facilities and, you know, the same level of quality control are putting out models that aren't necessarily having these problems. And I mean, these are things with smaller details. These are things with, you know, tentacles all over the place if you're playing Aquans and things of that nature. Yeah. And I mean, we've talked about this before with Beasts of War, and we've talked about it with Forge World. Nobody else seems to have, and I mean, even Strange Aeons, you know, and that's Uncle Mike building this shit in his basement. You know, and I mean, like, even these people are building quality resin models that aren't having the problems that Finecast has. It's not brittle as shit, you know, and it's proper resin. So, mm-hmm. you know, like, where's the disconnect? Like you said, is nobody looking at this? Are they completely unaware of everything else that's out there? And the answer is very likely yes.
Yeah, well, because the weirdest thing is just like Forge World was notorious for being the one of the worst resins that you could buy, because like you said, there are so many other companies that are working in resin. They're releasing these good quality resin models, and the Forge World stuff was always unnecessarily brittle. Ask anyone that ever bought anything with a sword. Mm-hmm. You know, if the sword came still in one piece, you were lucky. You know, and if it was in one piece. Again, I'm gonna go back to the limp dick metaphor, because that's what it always looked like, because it always worked like that. And again, you know, it's just like it astounds me that there is actually a worse product out there than the Forge World stuff. And I mean, I love my Forge World crack. I absolutely love it. I have all the greater demons. I have Tyranid Gargantuan creatures from them. I have Chaos Dwarves. You know, I have so much Forge World stuff. Yet at the same time, like I said, it's just like Games Workshop was literally able to go for the only product in the world that's worse than that. You know, mm-hmm. it's more brittle. It's more inflexible. It comes with flash like you would not fucking believe. It, like, it's, you know, it bubbles. Like, everything about the product that Games Workshop is using is crap. They literally went for the cheapest product they could, so that way they could pad the profits through a really poorly executed fucking marketing campaign. So it's just like, we're going to raise the prices and we're going to cut our costs and release a shittier product.
Yep.
You know, and it's just like, they have to be aware, because, you know, at some level, these decision makers, do they play the game? Have they ever looked at the product? Have they ever, like, you know, you can't just keep turning a blind eye unless you are so far fucking removed from the process. And it's starting to feel like it is. Because, I mean, remember, these are the executives that called their own customers thieves and leeches.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
I'm just going to throw out to all the listeners right now, you're welcome. This has been easily the most depressing episode of Jaded Gamercast. For anybody who is a wargamer out there, I think this is the episode that truly stands up to the name of our podcast, to say the least. But, you know, for anybody out there who is gearing up for 6th edition, kind of back to the main topic, I think the big thing is, you know, just be patient. And, you know, when it comes out, get your book quickly, read through it properly, and try to get games in. And, you know, when 6th edition comes out, I think we're obviously going to have pretty much a solid month of Warhammer 40,000 coverage, to say the least. Talking about the various codexes and how they're going to be affected, and, you know, all the different things that you're going to want to use, you know, breaking down specific rules, you know, for things. It's basically going to be allow us to start from scratch on the show, which is very exciting.
Yes, it is. And you know, the other thing is we'll probably end up just changing our higher learning to be 40K exclusive until we can burn through all of the lists and how they've changed with 6.
Yeah, more than likely. So, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, definitely things to look forward to. And, I mean, obviously we're excited for 6th edition and kind of everything that it's going to bring. But for right now, as you said before, who gives a fuck? There's nothing to make me care about Warhammer 40,000 right now, and that's not going to change until the new book comes out. So, that's been Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.